The What Geeks Do Network presents...
Welcome to Twi'lek Talk, a Star Wars podcast.
This is Twi'lek Talk, episode 12. I'm Rob Solo.
And I'm Old Ben.
Much to Twi'lek Talk about today we have.
We do, and it's been a dog's age since we've been here for our fun podcast. Unfortunately, Darth Dillon will not be joining us tonight.
Not tonight. I hope he's doing well, though.
Yes.
All my love to Darth Dillon. The Clone Wars finale aired on Monday, May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day, by the way, Old Ben.
May the 4th to you as well, and yes. May the 4th be with you, and also Revenge of the 5th and the 6th, and however many other numbers we want to go through.
I just celebrate the 4th. What do you do? You celebrate
all? I do, too. Well, last year, my fiance and I actually went to a comic book store. It was nice. I don't know if it coincided with Comic Book Day and Star Wars Day, but that's what we did last year. Unfortunately, this year, you know, coronavirus. Yeah. So no one's doing anything.
Oh, gosh. It's terrible, isn't it?
It's...
No more comic books right now. All comic books are on hold.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you can find anything, it's probably just going to be digital. But it's just something about holding, you know, a physical copy of, you know, a comic book in your hand and reading it.
Stanley said it, remember? He said, you can look at boobs online, but it's a lot different having them in your hand.
Remember? Like, yo, mama!
Scramble! Also, we're going to talk about they dropped the first episode of the Mandalorian documentary on Disney Plus as well.
Yes,
which is really cool, fun to watch. But we'll get into that in the end. I want to talk about the Clone Wars, man.
Yeah, yes. That's
first 8 episodes of the season were okay, and I understand how they worked and they tied in to what we got in the last 4 episodes. But like, I felt like at one point it was kind of dragging. I felt like there was a lot of fluff, so I had like a little bit of problem. The Bad Batch was fun. It was cool to see like that, and it was such a cool story. It's a cool thing to come up with. But the part with Ahsoka and the Martez sisters, that kind of got a little old after a while.
I thought it was going to go somewhere. I thought that maybe because I had heard a rumor, I thought this in my head, but I thought that at some point the Martez sisters were to come back at the end of the series and actually like help Ahsoka escape.
Yeah. Save the day.
Yeah. Something like that where they, you know, they saw how, even though, cause one of the things that was interesting, I don't know if you recall, but I like the story that they told about how their parents were killed during that conflict between Cad Bane and the Jedi.
Yeah.
And then Master Unduli, you know, went to their house afterwards and said, don't worry, the Force will be with you.
Yeah.
Like, you can imagine if somebody did that. Like, my parents are dead, and, you know, you were, you know.
It's like some religious freak coming to your door.
Yeah, so now, but I do see, I think it was cool because then you saw why a lot of people in the galaxy viewed the Jedi a lot differently than, you know.
It helped to see the turn happen as fast as it did, because at that point you're looking at the lower levels of Coruscant and like you're looking at how they view the upper levels, like it's like the lower and the upper. And people didn't look at the Jedi as saviors at that point. There was a lot of people who looked at the Jedi as being the cause of the problem because of the Clone Wars. They said they were the starters of the Clone Wars. And that's the only reason that the Martez sisters was good. It was kind of like, do we need to see all that spice?
I think, too, that was supposed to lead into, you know, incorporating Maul into the story. Because Maul, of course, later on in the arc, you know, in this final season was one of the main players. So. Yeah.
What I thought they were going with it in the Ahsoka novel, which I'm probably going to reference a lot in this, she hangs with two sisters, the Sephardi sisters, when she goes into hiding in the Outer Rim on the Moon Arata. Okay. So I thought they were going to like maybe make it similar to that and show like something, because they were sticking a little bit to the Ahsoka novel. The Ahsoka novel has a couple interludes that show the Siege of Mandalore, and I'm probably going to reference a few of those as we go. They changed a few little things, just like the color of the lightsabers, which I'm sure people are talking about. Which is not a big deal. It's fine.
No. You know? It's canon, but it's like, I think that there are a lot of people that separate novel canon versus live action / animation canon and stuff, because a lot of people don't read the books. Mm. And I think that it's sort of like just ancillary material for people that really are into it. I mean,
You still got to stick to your canon, though. You got to think if people are the people who are indulged in all of the comics, books, shows, and movies are gonna want to know that all that. Like when I said, when I went to see Rogue One, like I read Catalyst, and it was so much more of an experience knowing the characters after reading the novel. So I don't think they should go against their canon. I think this is the first time they've actually done that.
Yeah, and I know, too, you mentioned the other sisters in the novel that had helped Ahsoka, you know, kind of escape. I think probably Dave Filoni looked at it like, well, we'll just sort of, you know, take that idea and incorporate that into the Martez sisters and just frame it differently, as in they're not going to help her escape. But, you know, it sort of gave Ahsoka a different perspective again on how the common citizen view the Jedi.
So. Yeah. The Faraday sisters is a whole nother story, because that's after Order 66, and she like settles down there for a little while on that moon. So that's a whole nother thing, but I thought maybe they were kind of mimicking that at first, which they didn't. I just don't know. I think they could have made that into two episodes instead of four, you know?
Right, right.
But the last four episodes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, and I remember I had messaged you the other day after we both had watched it at separate times, and I said to you flat out, this is, for me, this is the best thing since Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
you did say that. As whether it was Lucasfilm, George Lucas, you know, ran, or Disney, it just hands down. And again, I loved Rogue One. I loved The Mandalorian, but this last arc of the Clone Wars, it was levels and levels and levels above anything that they've done for a very, very long time.
I feel the same way, old Ben. I put out a post that said, as much as I love Rogue One, I think it's great. I forgot about The Mandalorian. Mandalorian is amazing. I didn't forget about it, but in the post I didn't mention it. But I had said that the last four episodes, man, that was some of the best Star Wars content. Maybe the best Star Wars content since Disney took over.
I totally agree. I think everything from the animation, and it's funny too, because I had mentioned something to the effect of like, wow, that fight between Maul and Ahsoka, it looked almost real. And then we later found out that it was live action. It was
Ray
motion
Park.
Capture with Ray Park.
Man, he killed it, right?
Yeah, so happy to see him incredible. That featurette was like, oh my God. Yeah. Back and forth, you know, corkscrews flying all over the place. And
think about Ray Park. He is such a fan, right? All he does all day is make videos of him swinging around lightsabers and shit. He's awesome. He's in shape. He's a fun guy. And he's still getting to play that character who he thought maybe had died in The Phantom Menace.
Like over 20 years ago. Yeah.
He's still got that. It's Solo. He's getting to do motion capture now. Who knows? He's going to be in the Obi-Wan series, isn't he?
Is it The Mandalorian? If he's in it, it's going to be one of the things where obviously he and Kenobi don't meet till towards the end of,
He's in The Mandalorian, he would already be dead. It would have to be a flashback.
Yeah.
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 But if it's a Kenobi, it's probably a flashback too. I don't know. Not necessarily though.
Yeah. I have to commend too. I mean, of course he's amazing. Sam Witwer on voicing him was just like, you felt like, my God, he is just starting to, you know, because Maul has always been like a loose cannon, like always on the edge and, because again, in Phantom Menace, he didn't know much about him. He was very mysterious. He was very he spoke once.
Them. They really made him into something, didn't they?
They really, and I think probably it was fans clamoring for, he was awesome in that movie. We want more. So that's why I think Lucas and Filoni basically said, all right, we're going to bring him back. And here's a way we're bringing him back. And then it's just, I think since then, it's just taken on a life of its own as far as like the evolution of that character.
I'll be the first to admit, I thought it was stupid when he first came back. But I'm happy he did, and I'm happy the way that it went. Did you see that video I sent you about the whole life and death of Maul?
Yes.
Wasn't that cool? Someone put together a whole, I forget who it was, I wish I could give him credit, but they put together the whole life and death from Maul to the beginning to the end when Palpatine or Sidious went to Dathomir and actually stole him from the Night Sisters and took him back and trained him because he wanted an apprentice. He wanted a Sith apprentice. Very cool little video someone threw together. Maul rules, man. He has become quite an in-depth character.
Yeah, no, they gave him that backstory. They gave him, and again, brought him to a level where it's he's in the same breath of all those other characters, you know, all the main, those main characters in that time frame. So
I like it reminds me of when you and I and Dylan sat down. Was Dylan there? Maybe it's just you and I. And we were talking about the Twin Suns Rebels episode. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he was just such a shadow of himself at that time.
And well, at that point, yeah, he was broken man. He was, obsession. You know, still, yeah.
Oh, his obsession got the best of him, like, trying to find Obi-Wan. I want to talk also about how he was talking to Ahsoka, saying, I thought it was going to be Kenobi. But then later on, he also says, I wanted you to bring Anakin so I can kill him. Like, to either destroy Sidious's plan or to keep him from being replaced? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I found that interesting too, because also I don't, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that Maul and Anakin ever fought or ever had, I mean, obviously, you know, him saying that, what was it? Skywalker.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think they ever, which is interesting because in Rebels, I was at least hoping like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if it was Vader and Maul? And yeah. It didn't end up, but yeah, no, that whole scene was amazing because it was just, you know, they're both sort of checking each other out, eyeing each other up, you know, what are you going to do?
In Rebels, didn't Maul run away like a little bitch when Vader showed up?
Yeah.
He did, right? He was like, he's coming, and he bounced.
Yeah.
At that point, Vader would have fucking whooped him.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in his prime, too, also. I don't know. If Anakin had showed up, like, what Ahsoka said exactly. She said, if you're lucky Anakin didn't come because the way you're fighting, whatever, you would have been toast. She actually said that to him.
Yeah.
I just want to say that the music alone in the last four episodes, wow. Kevin Kiner, that background eerie undertone created such a moving cinematic experience.
I agree. I think that music and Star Wars and music are synonymous with each other as far as setting the tone, creating that emotional attachment for the audience. And it's a shame that they haven't had Kevin Kiner, you know, do any live action stuff, because as much as I liked Michael Giacchino's,
I liked it.
Oh, from Rogue One. I mean, yeah, he was thrown in there at last minute. So I give that guy mad props for that.
Mad props.
But it's sort of like Filoni, Lucas and Filoni, you know, John Williams, Kevin Kiner, you know what I mean? There's that connect. There's that symbiotic connection. There's someone that understands how emotionally, you know, this is supposed to play out and how this franchise works. So
fantastic work. Also, the dude who does the Mandalorian music is great, too.
Oh, Gustafson or something, like I believe.
Yeah, that really fits the feel of the show. With John Williams retiring and all, it's good to know that they can make music for Star Wars for the upcoming content.
Yeah.
That shit was moving.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the Mandalorians. I think I sent it to you one time. I've heard a lot of really good plays. Like an 80s sort of like remix of the Mandalorian theme. Like, you know, like it's very catchy. It's almost like a really good like rock or pop song.
That was one thing I noticed when I was watching. I'm like, man, this music, it really pulls you in and it really stands out.
Funny enough, it actually has a rock. If you play it back to back with the Rocky theme, it's got a very sort of like 80s Rocky theme feeling to it.
Does it really?
Yeah, I'll have to send that to you. There's a person online that, like, you know, basically did a mashup of the Rocky theme and the Mandalorian theme, and it's like it's very similar beats.
The Mandalorian theme. Yes, I saw that. I know what you're talking about. That was actually weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was a really good mashup though.
I like those mashups they do in there. But, I thought you were talking about the Clone Wars music. I apologize, old Ben.
Sorry. I am old, bad. So sometimes I forget things.
No, I forgot. It was my fault.
but yeah, no. But as far like we've been talking about, as far as the Siege of Mandalore, it exceeded my expectations as far as the action. The stuff between Bo-Katan and Gar Saxon, which was the fight and the cat and mouse game, but that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. We got to see Ren's mother.
Yeah.
Ursa?
I believe so.
Oh, man, that was cool. And also, you know what? Someone was saying that, remember when we saw that one Mandalorian with the pink and purplish hair?
Yes.
They were saying that was someone, like a cousin of Sabine Wren or something. Is that true?
I don't know. I mean, I think Dave Filoni likes to put a lot of like Easter eggs or I'll let you decide what this is, you know, especially with like, you think about it, from Return of the Jedi, there is a rebel trooper that looks a lot like Rex. And this wasn't done on purpose, obviously, because this was filmed back in 1983.
Nick Sand, apparently.
But then Filoni said, all right, yeah, if you think that's Rex, that's Rex.
But
Rex
they would did have been say like, it was Rex.
He did. I believe he did.
Ultimately,
say that,
that is canon now. He'd be like old as shit.
I mean, Rex would have been like 138 years old, but still.
He would have been 70 in our years, but because they aged faster as clones, he would have been like really old.
Well, maybe he's got one of those special kind of DNA. I don't know. But maybe we can talk about the Ahsoka Rex relationship throughout this whole thing.
That's the whole thing. Now, my question was. Remember when you see Rex, obviously, in Rebels, and he's on that planet Silos?
Yeah.
Him and Wolf and Gregor. So, like, at what point did Wolf and Gregor remove their chips or overcome their chips? Or is there any continuity to back that up, that those two guys also overcame it? Because, obviously, in the finale, you only see Rex.
Well, I guess those two were somewhere else, and my guess is that Rex was able to... politely, in a kind way, sort of knock them both out and have their chips removed. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, but I don't think that they thought that far ahead.
That's the whole thing. They could write a whole story about what happens with those two, even a novel or a comic book. Comic books have been killing it, by the way. Or it's just that story alone. I want to know how those two got away, because I wasn't able to find any information on it.
Yeah. I think I got sort of like a Legends explanation. I was curious what happened to Commander Cody, Obi-Wan's second in command. And
he lived and died a fucking pawn, yo.
I think that's what the... I think that was the Legends explanation. But I love the... See, I was also curious too. Again, this whole series, I had sort of a lot of... ideas of what I thought probably what was going to happen, but it didn't happen. Like, I thought that maybe Rex had, removed his chip before all this happened, but he didn't.
That was a slight continuity error as well, old Ben. Remember when he says in Rebels, I didn't turn on my Jedi commanders, and he actually kind of did.
But I will say true, but I guess maybe the explanation is he did the best he could, because he did give Ahsoka, a good 10, 15 seconds to sort of, he was fighting it.
Yeah, he said find fives.
Find fives.
And that's another reason they made those other episodes in the earlier part of the season. It's because that tied in as well, because five is important. But then she never actually found fives. So it kind of is pointless.
No.
I could see they used that whole thing was about him turning. And fives made him realize. I think that was the reason he was able to resist. Fives actually had it in his head that there's a chip in me and it might be, there might be some sort of cynical fucking plan behind putting it there.
Yeah. It's weird because it's always, they're clones and they're smart soldiers, but, I guess they obviously had to keep that going as far as like, well, no one really knows what they're for with these chips. We know, Five's discovered this, but we don't know why. But
if I have a chip in my head, I'm going to be like, what the fuck is that doing there?
Yeah,
I want to know, clone or not.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm a critical thinker.
Yeah.
All right, old Ben, you want to take a quick commercial break? And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about the finale and the last four episodes, because there's a lot to say about that.
There's so much. I don't think we'll even be able to cover everything, but let's get to what we can get to, yes.
A couple of, notes and stuff. Wow. Great, great fucking ending. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Now hold still, you big furry ape. I don't care what you... Oh, hi there. You must be next. Welcome to Cuts on Kashyyyk, the oldest barbershop this side of the mid-rim. Our team has experience with the latest styles in the galaxy, the Padme Pixie, the Mole Mullet, and the very popular Carillion Crew Cut. Calm down, Lumpy. I'm almost done. Need a shave? Our shavers are powered by Kyber Crystals. But don't tell the Empire. To make sure you look great for Life Day. We also sell Wookiee cookies. Definitely not a top seller on this planet. So come on down to Cuts on Kashyyyk, where we always say, too furry, no worries.
Cuts on Kashyyyk, located somewhere in that foresty area. call 1138 extension 94 94.
All right, we're back. Episode 12 of Twi'lek Talk. The comment the Maul made to her about not being a Jedi was also in the Ahsoka novel. And right. She retorts with, he's only half a Sith.
Oh, oh.
Cold-blooded.
He's full of Sith. Whoa.
Oh. In the show, do you really feel like he was being honest about his intentions to take down Sidious? But I'm not so sure. Do you think that, old Ben?
I think he's a little delusional. Yeah. Honestly, I think that Maul, because again, he was sort of privy to a little bit of what was going to happen, but he wasn't really sure. Then when it did happen after Ahsoka rescued him on the Star Destroyer, he was just like, wow, brilliant.
Yeah, he actually said that. He said brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he kind of was. He was privy to Anakin turning to the dark and all that stuff. But he didn't know the extent of Sidious's plan, which was really cool, the way they did that.
I think that was a good idea to give him that foresight. I don't know if that's a power that he's supposed to have, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. I think it was a great vehicle for him to be caught up to speed with everything else that was going on, as opposed to being stuck in that, you know, that contraption, that Mandalorian, which was really cool, that Mandalorian, like, force mm-hmm. jail.
They were like, yeah, we don't use these anymore, but we had one left. Throw them
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we had a Hannibal Lecter-ish. That's what I've heard a lot.
I love, yeah, a lot of people, Hannibal Lecter-ish. That was pretty cool. And when she releases him, too, she's also, he's like, can you give me a fighting chance? She's like, nah, Brian, rooting for you.
She's You're the like, decoy.
Yeah, she yeah. didn't want her clone friends who are, you know, turned to get struck down by that dude. I totally get that. That was really well written, the way they did that, by the way.
Yeah, no, I agree. So here's a question I have for you. Do you think that, and by the way, Maul wrecking shop through those clones was pretty awesome, by the way. Do you think that was more impactful and action, you know, impactful or whatever than Vader's scene in Rogue
I knew
One?
You were going to say. Honestly, when I was in the theater and I saw that Vader scene, that really impacted me. And it's crazy because they did just throw that in last second. It wasn't even going to be in the movie. But wow, what an impact. And the movie was amazing. I love Rogue One. And that, at the end, just really, that was like the cherry on the top. But I have to say, Maul looked pretty fucking badass when he was walking through busting shit up with the clone troopers as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a tie score for me. Why? What do you think, old Ben? That was good.
I'm leaning more towards Maul now, even though Vader is a more predominant, you know, character in this whole. I mean, it is all about him. It's all about the Skywalker saga and Anakin's, yeah. you know, rise and fall and rise again. But I gotta say, Maul wrecked some shop in that episode. Yeah. You can just see the brutality, and he did it without a lightsaber. That's
he was doing it with parts of the ship, which was cool.
He was using it as a shield. He was yeah. using it to throw at them like a frisbee and crush them. Yeah. One scene I actually really did like was when he was in the Mandalorian, I guess, throne room. That's the best way I can describe
when
it on Mandalore.
When he's sitting and, in the chair.
Yeah, yeah. And when they were when Bo-Katan started shooting at him, he was just like, flick.
Yeah.
There go those blaster bolts to the right, to the left.
Kind
to
of
the left,
Kylo Ren-ish, if you think about it. Like, Kylo Ren holds the blaster bolt, but he was just kind of waving his hand, and they were just going.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was insane. The other thing that was sort of like a level-up video game feel, but I still liked it, was when he went to the hyperdrive room and he just started destroying the hyperdrives.
I wanted to bring that up, man. Maul yeah. bringing down those hyperdrive generators with the Force was really cool. That ship coming down when they're yeah. trying to like find an escape shuttle, and that whole scene is such
yeah.
a callback to Revenge of the Sith with Anakin going down. Oh, and flying half a ship. All that stuff. I was thinking about that.
Right. Good call.
I was thinking about that the whole time. Like, also, like her falling was from Attack of the Clones, you know, when she's trying to grab onto the ship. Remember when Anakin falls and he's like kind of using the Force to like level himself? All of that. Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, like that
so
time
many callbacks.
Period.
So many callbacks.
They made that time period. They made the prequels better.
They added to the lore. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. I've never liked prequels more. I mean, some of that dialogue, you know, I could do without.
Oh, very, very mechanical. Very, yeah. Okay, that's this, how this is. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, it's messy. It gets everywhere. Like, that kind of shit. I could do without some of that. And obviously, Jar Jar and the Gungans. What are they called? The Gungans. Like, I could do without some of that. But, man, did the Clone Wars enrich that story or what?
It added to it, yeah. You the callbacks,
the voiceover when they were showing her feeling Anakin when he cuts off Mace's hand and that whole sequence
The whole story, yeah, yeah.
How they used the voices from the movies, and Ian McDiarmid came back to actually voice Sidious for the first time in the Clone Wars ever.
Wow. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, he's done it in Rebels. He never has voiced Sidious or Palpatine in the Clone Wars. They actually had him record lines for the episode. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, he did stuff with Rebels, which we know of, which was really cool. But never no, I was not aware. I did not know that.
Yeah, they used Ian McDiarmid's voice. Am I saying that right? Ian?
McDiarmid. It's cool. Yeah, you're close. Yeah.
Yeah. And they use samples from the prequel movies during when Ahsoka felt that through the Force. What a cool scene, by the way.
And again, too, it was great. This whole series was great because they were able to go back and forth between this arc and Revenge of the Sith and chronologically put subtle cues in throughout the whole series as far as Kenobi is engaging Grievous. Okay, I know where we are in relation to Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Anakin killed Dooku. All right, now I know, you know, about where that is. I also like the extended Jedi Council Masters meeting before Anakin went to confront Palpatine.
A scene that takes place right after what you saw, like in Revenge of the Sith. How cool was that, the way they did that? Like, she walks, you didn't see anything, it cut scene in the movie, and then you actually see what happens when Anakin's gone at that point, but Ahsoka walks in and is actually conversing with Yoda and Mace Windu.
And Mace Windu's smugness. Sorry, citizen.
Yeah. This is Jedi business or whatever.
This Jedi business. Yeah. It's like, oh, boy. And it's funny, too, because someone had pointed out, well, if Windu had entertained Ahsoka and allowed her to speak, maybe she would have mentioned something about what Maul had said about Anakin.
About Sidious.
And about Sidious, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know, a lot of people claim that Mace Windu was the downfall of the Jedi Council and got in the way of a lot of shit. I know it's a far-fetched theory, but...
In some ways, he was almost... I mean, Yoda was the Grandmaster, was the Jedi Grandmaster, but Windu, for the most part, was like the leadership Jedi poster boy, as opposed to Anakin being the poster boy for the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
But he was Mace was basically like the figurehead to a degree, and a lot of people looked to him for guidance.
I did, you know, up until I learned the truth.
So the prophecy says.
I don't know. I think that there's some evidence to back up that Mace Windu had a huge part in the downfall of the Jedi Council. I think it's a good point to make because he made a lot of decisions about where Jedis were going to be at that point. I don't know.
Yeah, and he was supposed to take over for Yoda. Had things played out differently. Yoda had actually, I believe it is a canon, had said that he was grooming Windu to take over for
Jedi. Which makes sense.
Yoda once he had decided to retire.
Totally makes sense.
One thing I actually wanted to point out about the last episode that I'm not sure if a lot of people had noticed, but that Star Destroyer they were on, the Vendor class Star Destroyer, the Republic Star Destroyer, it really felt like an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
If you look at the shots, even the classic straight ahead shot of people walking across the bridge towards the front of the ship, the shot of the Republic commanders on the bottom part near, the controls, it just felt like the Empire. It almost felt like there's the foreshadowing of...
They actually did that on purpose. I watched a thing on it. They did it on purpose to show that transition from the Republic to the Empire. And they actually made controls that were in the Star-Class Destroyer that were similar to what you saw in, I think it was A New Hope?
I believe it. It was very... Well, probably first in Empire, I believe that's probably where we first saw like a star. Okay. I don't think they showed any. Oh, no, they had a Star Destroyer in, obviously, the first shot in A New Hope, but you didn't see inside the Star Destroyer, I believe.
I'm not sure where they actually took the reference from. One of the two movies, though. Definitely the original trilogy.
It was, but I noticed that thing, and I'm like, this is incredible. Yeah. And the other thing that I noticed was, and this is just another super cool thing that, again, may have flown under the radar for a lot of people, but notice that Order 66 commenced as they were jumping through hyperspace. They were still going through hyperspace, and this was all this flurry of blaster bolts and turning on Ahsoka, and they're still going. You got to realize they're still going through hyperspace at this time.
Right now,
they're still going. It's just like, oh my god!
They really thought about that.
And they did.
It was only until Maul took down the hyperdrive generators that they actually pulled out of hyperspace. You're right, old Ben. That's interesting. Right. I wonder if that meant something.
I don't know. It was just, but it was just another cool thing. It wasn't like, you know, the other scenes they showed in Revenge of the Sith where Kenobi is just riding off on, you know, that creature and blast him. It was like so much tension and so much speed and so much action that going on that you're like, wow, this is crazy. I'd have to watch this episode over and over and over again to catch everything.
Oh, when they turn on her, Ahsoka, the way she combats them was just so beautiful. A lot of people are like, oh, how did she survive Order 66, all the other Jedis? She's Ahsoka Tano. Man, she's badass. She actually, you know, was one of the people who got upper hand on Darth Vader in Rebels. So that's why, because she's amazing. She's Togruta, and she has special abilities.
And it's incredible how that character has evolved, if you really think about it, because I will be honest. I know you've been an Ahsoka fan since the beginning. I was not. I was amongst that, okay, Snips, okay, Sky Guy, okay, this is kind of cornball.
Yeah.
But they, again, much like Maul, maybe there's that comparison, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they were able to give her this backstory and build up confidence in the audience, you know, that like, hey, this is going to be a person that's going to be a force to be reckoned with, no pun intended.
Yeah. It's interesting. I give Ahsoka credit because if you think about it, she was a character who actually a lot of fans didn't like in the beginning, and she has grown into one of a favorable characters of most fans. And Maul was kind of always favorable, and then they just kind of kept with it because so many fans liked him. So I give her more credit.
But no, I think for me the Rebels series was where I sort of was like, yeah, you know, because again, there wasn't anybody. There was Kanan, and there, you know, obviously no Yoda and Obi-Wan are out there, and a handful of others that never really played a part in the Galactic Civil War. But all of a sudden, there's Ahsoka. Oh my God, she's Fulcrum. And I was curious as to see how she was going to play off of the events that are going on, because again, in the movies, she wasn't there, but then again, she wasn't created until, you know, the mid 2000s. I think that character has definitely grown. She's grown on me. She's grown on me. Definitely. So
do you think they're going to incorporate something in a comic book or a novel about her training with Luke at some point?
They had to have met, right?
They had to have, right? At some point.
Because she was still, she was still around at the end of Rebels. She was still around.
She was around at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah, she was around Return of the Jedi. So you've got to think that if she was aware that if Anakin, because I don't believe she was even aware that Anakin had, you know, offspring. Had children.
No, I don't think anyone was really aware of that, but Obi-Wan and Yoda.
But the Force works in mysterious ways, and, you know, I'm sure that somehow, I mean, that would be something great for The Mandalorian to explore, but I don't know how you would recast Mark Hamill, because you can't bring it, maybe if you do
Bucky.
CGI. Bucky, yeah, right? Yeah.
The dude that plays Bucky, yo.
he does look a lot like a young Mark Hamill. He
totally does.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, and just CGI it a little bit, you know, cut his hair right. Everything's cool. I just wanted to say really quick. So one of the things that was actually slightly different from the Ahsoka novel as well was the way that Darth Maul was captured. And I just don't like them going against their continuity. Not to be negative or whatever, but the way he was captured in the book, he was actually captured in a ray shield. It's no biggie.
Oh, it was supposed to be a callback to Phantom Menace, I suppose, where Obi-Wan was caught up in the ray shield and couldn't,
Who was talking to him.
Interesting.
Is that Phantom Menace? Well, no, Attack of the Clones. That's when Dooku caught Obi-Wan in a ray shield.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, like, he's supposed to be captured in the book. He's captured in a ray shield, and that's how the clones get him. I don't know. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I want to point that out.
Right. But, yeah, it's a continuity thing.
Keep to your continuity, isn't he? That's all I'm saying.
Right.
But the ending. Let's get into it.
One other point I do want to make, if it's okay.
Sure.
The unsung heroes of this last episode were the droids.
Oh, totally.
I love the fact that they gave them, like, the R2 spot.
Yeah.
Basically, they were saving the main protagonists, much like R2 did throughout the whole original trilogy.
Or Chopper.
And the one character, Cheep, reminded me of Chopper.
Chopper. And Dave Filoni voiced him.
He did? Okay.
Yeah, and he voiced Chopper. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
And I was sad when the clones executed them. I was like, oh.
I know.
They did so much. They were helping them.
All the way up until the end. And remember when that one, it got blasted right next to Ahsoka. It actually caught her attention. That was so cool. That was so cool.
Yeah, but that was cool how the droids, came to her aid and stuff when, all this, Rex and all the clones are hunting after her. And she just, like Leia had said, never count it. I count out a droid.
Never underestimate a droid.
Never estimate a droid. There you go.
Did you tear up a little bit in some of those scenes?
I did. I cried.
I did too.
I was tears of.
I teared up a little bit in Shattered, episode 11.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was
twice.
I was more. Because again, we all know where this is leading. We all know what happens to everybody. But the cool thing about it is, how do they get there?
Yeah.
What are the lasting effects on them? And
I think that's what made it more emotional, knowing what was going to happen. The way they wrote it, Ahsoka's reaction to, say, Darth Maul telling her the truth, and her being like, "No, not in that would never happen," just knowing that is going to happen. It was so emotional.
It was a very like Luke Vader on Bespin sort of scene where Dooku.
Never.
Kenobi on Geonosis.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of, again, I think that Filoni is definitely a student of Lucas where it rhymes. Here's a subtle sort of callback to when this happened back then or when this happens in the future, here's something that's going on in their present, timeline.
Easter eggs and whatnot for fans in the last four episodes alone. I mean, there's more in the first eight, but wow, what a well done. He knows his Star Wars, Dave Filoni, and I know he has a huge part in like making all of that happen. And me, I vote Dave Filoni president for
that's an amazing. By the way, yes, I love that. That was
you like that.
That's good.
So the ending of Clone Wars. Let's talk about it, old Ben. I heard the ending. Actually takes place about an Earth year or so after the Siege of Mandalore. I don't know. Like, you could see the clone troopers have been replaced by stormtroopers. You could see the climate change on the planet. What's the name of that planet, by the way? Do you remember? It was a moon.
I should have looked that up before we... It's not Hoth. I know that.
No, not Hoth. But they made it look like Hoth. It was so cool.
Yeah, but the snowtroopers and, they added... Yeah. Yeah, it definitely had that feel, but I do not know the name of that planet. I should.
When you saw his feet and his cape walk by, tell me your heart didn't jump a little bit.
I had no clue what they were. I was assuming he was going to go towards the crash site. He did. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know. I think what was really cool, is symbolic in a way, is when he took Ahsoka's lightsaber and ignited it. I'm like, wow, Vader's got a blue lightsaber right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I don't know why. Yeah. But I think this was sort of to signify, the last part of Anakin at that point was really fading away. And he was walking away from – and then when we see him walking away from – the
clone trooper
helmet. You see his image in the helmet. Mm.
The reflection of the visor, the helmet painted like Ahsoka.
Wow. Yeah, he's sort of walking away from Ahsoka.
And that's how you knew that they were separate. She left her lightsaber. It was symbolic, showing that that part of her life was dead. And Anakin had gone to the dark side. There's no turning back from that. Well, I mean, there is, but we don't find that out till later.
Yeah, they did say, though, that someone had pointed out that if you freeze the frame that you can actually see Anakin's eyes, like the blue eyes and stuff at that point where maybe that's also a play off of the blue lightsaber. Maybe that's the reflection of that. But yeah, there was definitely there was significance there as far as this is the end of something and the beginning of something else.
Oh, Ben, when you look at that frame with the red lens, you can see his eyes are blue. They're not Sith yellow.
Yes.
And I think they did that on purpose.
And also too, the condor flying overhead.
Mm.
Ahsoka's spirit animal, Morai, yeah.
The convoy, was it Morai, at the very end, that was amazing. And do you think Vader knows that there's like a Force-sensitive bird? It's like the essence of the door from Mortis and all that. Do you think that he knows that?
I think so. I mean, there's got to be some sort of... I think Dave Filoni's doing a lot of... Let's just see, you know, the audience. What do you guys think?
I like
you
to
know,
speculate.
I'll throw that out there. And
I
maybe
like the speculation
you know,
they leave
like
for
this.
You. Yeah. Because it's like he looks up and like it's like I almost feel like he feels it.
Yeah, I almost felt like maybe in his own mind that he realized Ahsoka is still out there.
Yeah, you think he knew?
Maybe
he must have known,
but he was still more wanted to find Kenobi because he knew that Kenobi was still out there.
Well, the way they tied it off, man, that whole convoy, Morai, and being the. You're a Clone Wars fan. You remember the Mortis episode.
Yeah.
And the way they brought that back. It's like, that's in Rebels, you know, that's the convoy that's around Ahsoka and Ezra at certain points in Rebels. And I think that's showing, obviously, you're moving on from the Clone Wars and, like, into the future. And that's kind of where that bird starts to show up, showing that, all right, we're moving into the Rebels era now.
Yeah, the transition between... And by the way, again, I have to point out, the animation in this series was... I almost felt like at times it was live action, the way that they did it.
Yeah.
Just, it was, you know, jumping from there to... And I really liked Rebels. I was a big Rebels fan, but the animation at points was like, okay. And I hadn't watched the other series, the one that was closer
to... Star Wars Resistance?
No, I mean, I just, the animation just wasn't, just wouldn't.
I can't.
Watch. Just from what I saw, it really doesn't do it for me. But I think that if they could do another series, maybe the one with Ahsoka and Sabine, you know, on a search for Ezra, if they could do that style of animation with that, I'll be on board no matter what. I mean, whatever kind of media that would come out in, but I just would love to see that again.
You like took the words right out of my mouth, old Ben. The future of animation, give up that Star Wars Resistance. That show sucks. Go strong in the future with a series that looks like what you just did. They know that those last four episodes were magical. They have to know
that's
that.
The best word to describe it. It was It was magic. It was just people that love that franchise, mm-hmm. putting their heart and soul into it, their creative energy, and creating something that stays true to Lucas's original vision.
You know what they're all about? Selling toys. Want to buy toys. All of a sudden, I'm like, I want some toys from these last four Clone Wars episodes. So they're doing something right.
No, they are. They are. And it does come down to that. But I think that there is something to be said about you got to create a good story in order for those toys to sell.
That's why the story was good. That's why I want to buy the toys. You know?
Yeah, but yes, this was, I can't say enough of how much I enjoyed especially this last arc of the Clone Wars, the season 7. It was just exceeded my expectations. And again, I went into it thinking, this is going to be pretty cool. You know, I love the Mandalorian. Yeah. I think that Lucasfilm saw the error of their ways with the sequel trilogy, with a lot of the ups and downs, mostly downs, but The Mandalorian kind of brought them back to, okay, here's some good storytelling. Here's some basic things that rules we have to abide by and rules in this Star Wars, you know, sandbox that we are playing in.
You know what the fans want, don't you?
Yeah.
Give the fans what they want. Just do what the fans want, you know? We're all accepting.
Well, just write good stories and you know, create good characters and give them situations where they have to overcome. That was the biggest issue that I had with the sequel trilogy. Not to get too much into the sequel trilogy, but I felt like Rey did not have a whole lot to have to overcome until the last movie, but I almost felt like that was too late to sort of do that. Weren't there seeds at least planted throughout the prior two movies? But there wasn't, so I will get off my soapbox about that.
Well, you're right, old Ben, because if you think about it, all those arguments that go against like why people don't really necessarily like the sequel trilogy are depleted when you look at the Clone Wars, you know? Like, that's how you tell a good story. It's a female-based character, Ahsoka, and you love her. There's minorities. Like, there's no politics that are shoved down your throat. And, I don't know. I liked Rise of Skywalker. I liked Force Awakens. But when I rewatched The Rise of Skywalker recently, like, there's a lot of stuff handed to Rey. You know, she is a Mary Sue, dare I say it.
Well, you did it.
I didn't want to
threw
say
down.
It.
but I think that, again, whether it's a male or female character, you know, in this case, Ahsoka,
she fights.
Totally stayed. She stayed true to the Jedi Code, even though she really wasn't one. Because although the clones were under the Order 66 spell, she still couldn't bring herself to kill them, and she still felt that they were her friends and her soldiers.
Let's just say Ahsoka Tano is completely righteous.
Totally righteous.
She is the righteous of righteous. She's everything that the Jedi and Sith should be. That's just me, Rob Solo.
Hashtag Rob Solo.
Hashtag Rob Solo. Everyone loves her now. Everyone loves her. It's like...
I do. I do, too. I mean, they...
There's a reason
Like
for
I
that.
Said, they developed her and they got her to a point where, you know, she is beloved. And part of that is because of her morals and beliefs and how she... She was basically able to do what Anakin couldn't. Anakin couldn't walk away from the Jedi and also retain his goodness, for lack of a better word. Yeah. She was able to do that. She was able to walk away, but at the same point, keep those her beliefs and her morals and her standards, but not adhering to the, you know, dogmatic teachings of the Jedi.
She resonates with me. I think she's what you would call in this galaxy is to be human and just know right from wrong. And she really lived up to that to the very end.
She might be what you would consider the perfect force user, not Jedi or Sith, not light side or dark. And not, I wouldn't even use the word gray.
Dare you say it.
But, and the closest person that came to that was Obi-Wan Kenobi. But I think Ahsoka actually might be more true because throughout it all, she didn't stop believing. You know what I mean?
A lot of people say Anakin's chosen one. He brought balance. I say Ahsoka.
Well, I don't think she brought balance, but...
No, she was a huge contributor, though.
I think everyone was, to a degree. Yeah, but
I'm getting carried away, old Ben.
Yeah, I think we are. The Ahsoka love fest is starting to dissipate. But, you know, I honestly, this series... I mean, for me, like I mentioned, Rebels had definitely brought me back into the fold and being like, wow, I'm enjoying this character. I'm enjoying her story. I'm curious to see where it goes next. And then this series just was the cherry on top of the sundae. So
well done, Clone Wars. I applaud you. Yeah, amazing job. One of the most amazing series I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I was hesitant in the beginning. That's the craziest thing. It's like, I didn't want to watch the show. I thought it was cheesy and kids like, and I don't know, I got sucked right in though. Once I gave it a chance, give things a chance in life. That's a lesson here.
Life lesson from Rob Solo.
Life's lesson. all right. Anything you want to add to the finale? I mean, it was an amazing run, old Ben.
I think, again, we could probably be talking about this for hours.
For hours.
But I just think, they really, to say they outdid themselves is almost an understatement. Yeah. They really just brought it, and I'm more hopeful now where Lucasfilm is going with the franchise as opposed to where Disney is taking Lucasfilm now.
Agreed.
And I think that especially with the Kenobi series, hopefully starting next year amongst everything else, and the Cassian Andor, and now, of course, Taika Waititi.
That's the news.
We can touch on that real quick.
Yeah. The director Taika Waititi is getting a movie. He's a director in episode 8 of The Mandalorian. It was a good episode. Really good. That was one of the best episodes. But he's getting his own movie. That's a huge news in the Star Wars world.
Yeah, I still think they're trying to figure out a lot of things. But because, again, there's the Game of Thrones guys, which supposedly are out now, but they want them back. And then Rian Johnson, apparently. They haven't said no, but they haven't said yes with that.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
I like the Game of Thrones guys. I didn't know anything about that. They might be coming back?
There's talk of they want them to come back, but I don't really? Know.
All right, so anyway, Taika Waititi. How you say it?
Taika Waititi?
He's going to be doing a series and or a movie.
I believe maybe he'll be doing something with – is he going to be directing any Mandalorian Season 2?
No. He's off it.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a couple of new directors and a couple of the old directors coming back, but he's not one of them because he's focused on whatever it is that he's doing movie-wise, which is
gotcha.
I totally get, you know. It was really good, by the way, to get to know, like, the talent behind the scenes on the show that you love so much, The Mandalorian, with that documentary that they put out on Disney Plus on May 4th. They really killed it with that. I thought that was a really cool series. First episode only. What are they going to drop? One a week?
I'm thinking they probably will. Yeah. I mean, because it's how many part series?
I think it was like 8.
We will have to see.
You enjoyed the first one, old Ben?
I did. I love the round table. It was sort of a round table, but it was also, you know, it gave a good sort of explanation of, you know, how everyone came together and their backgrounds and their experience and how they brought that experience to this one single vision of this, you know, series.
Yeah, that was really cool. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more because they're going to show how in The Mandalorian they use that new technology with the screen.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to see something super cool in the future, which is right now, by the way, of
future
this
now.
Kind of technology, it's this I couldn't even imagine. Again, you see it, you're like, wow, that looks really cool, but then you see how they implement it, how they, you know, use this background. It looks like they're on Tatooine.
My whole thing is this: when I look at it, I'm like, how have they not thought of this before? I remember seeing something like that when I was 12 at the carnival.
You know, yeah, like, but where somehow they've integrated that technology and made it seamless as far as what you see on the screen.
Looks amazing. They put a little CGI over some screen, and all of a sudden it's like the best thing you ever saw. I love it. I love it. I look forward to more of those Mandalorian documentary episodes as well. How was your fourth? Did you have a good time?
I had to work, but yeah. I was representing.
You worked on your holiday, bro? That's not cool.
I know, seriously. It's the best holiday of the year.
Well, holiday,
no, yeah,
really
I was representing. I had my cap and my shirt and nice. my Rebels jacket. So
very cool.
Yeah, and I also watched the first the last episode and the documentary.
Yes, that's what I did. I woke up in the morning, had my coffee, I watched the documentary. I waited a couple hours. I actually watched Empire. And then I got into the Clone Wars finale. And I rewatched the last 4 episodes and then went into the new episode. It was very enjoyable. I had a really great morning. It was a very cool holiday.
Yeah, someone at work had asked me, oh, so are you going to watch like the original trilogy all the way through? I'm like, I'd love to, but I'm fortunately, yeah. I'm going to be here for a little bit. And then I would probably end up falling asleep because I'm old Ben.
I did Empire, old Ben.
You did? Oh, there you go.
I did Empire. And then I kind of had like YouTube videos. And after watching the Clone Wars, I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, you know, Easter eggs and whatnot. You missed in the Clone Wars. That's always fun.
Right.
But an enjoyable holiday. So may the 4th be with you.
Always.
Always. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to this episode?
What I'd like to add is we need to do this more often. And we need to get Darth Dylan on board. As well. But we do apologize that we've been away. I don't even know when the last episode of Twi'lek Talk was.
Episode 11 came out, I want to say, it wasn't that long. 5 months ago, maybe.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It's been worse.
You're right, seriously. No, it just feels a lot longer. But again, this whole quarantine thing is making people, you know, feel like things are a lot longer than they really are. So
it really is. It really is. I want the world to kind of go back to something that
I want to go back to the movies. We were talking about this during the break. Oh, yeah. I'm just, that's, Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do.
Is AMC out?
I don't know when that's happening.
Are they going to close down? What's the deal?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope there's a way, because Hollywood is eventually going to get back to making movies, and where are they going to show them, you know?
Where are they going to show them? Stream to media.
I want to go to a theater.
I do like this Disney Plus, though.
Yeah, for right now, Disney Plus. For right now, Disney Plus is satiating the appetite, but nothing beats. It's like a comic book. Nothing beats having a physical copy of a comic book in your hand. Nothing beats the theater experience of going there and
titties on a screen, titties in your hand. Right? Am I right?
Am I right? Am I right? All right.
Sweet. Old Ben, that was amazing. That was awesome.
Yes.
So good to be back in the Wookiee studio with you. Don't forget to check out all our other content on social media all across the galaxy. Check us out on TweelikeTalk.com, where we got our main man doing all our tech shit. Old Ben, that was awesome. Thank the maker.
Awesome Blossom.
Mm-hmm. Till next time, what are we going to do? Episode 13 next.
Number 13.
Ooh, lucky 13.
13. Maybe we'll have to talk about the underbelly of Coruscant.
Oh, 13th level. You're right.
Let's do that. That's going to be next.
That could be a whole episode.
We are doing that. We are going to explore. We've just decided this, by the way, everyone. We're going to explore the whole myth, the whole everything with 1313 and what it all encompasses.
Let's look at the view that people have on the Jedi from down below.
We should go interview people. Yeah. So what do you really think of the Jedi?
Yeah. You think they're actually saviors? Are they corrupt? Have they lost their way? These are questions that people should be answering.
That would be a great... I mean, obviously because of social distancing, but that would be a great skit of like going down to Coruscant and just being like a reporter for like the Coruscant News. Like, we want to get your opinion. You know, we're talking to the man on the street or the Wookiee on the street about what they think of the Jedi.
I totally agree. They probably have something like that in the Star Wars universe. You know?
If they have it, we're going to do it. So don't steal it, people.
Like a little Jimmy who's running around like...
Little Jimmy. Little Jimmy.
I was thinking of Superman.
Sorry, inside joke, people.
Yeah. Till next time, check us out, Twi'lek Talk, and that was fun.
Woohoo!
May the Force be with you.
Always.
This program was brought to you by What Geeks Do Network.